I know kung fu.
Show me.
Jay, are you bored?
Dude, I'm always bored.
Don't you wish we could, like, go to a fantasy place, a realm, where we could just act out all our wildest dreams?
Do you mean, like, a portal to another universe?
Maybe, like, somewhere just magical and full of wonder.
I don't want to go to Disneyland again with you, Johnny. We rode the Teacup Ride,
local.
Like, 30 times.
Somewhere local.
Oh, local.
Yeah, you somewhere mean, where all our dreams come true.
Where do you have you're sounding specific. Do you have somewhere in mind?
I think I heard of a magical place. If only we knew someone that could take us to, like, a park. Like, a park that was full of wonder.
Like, more stuff than usual?
Like, more park. A park more fantasy-wise.
Like, forevermore or evermore?
Evermore, yeah. Do you know of anyone that could do that?
I do, actually, yeah. My brother...
Put him on. Put him on the cast.
All right, I'll call him right now. Beep, hey. Beep, beep, beep. Kate, this is really dumb.
Yo, what up?
What's up, Cade?
What's cracking, guys?
We're not as good of an actor as you. We can't get that into it.
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. That was riveting.
That was, yeah. Yeah. We really had you engaged.
I'll take it.
I was engaged.
That was total improv. I didn't even write that down.
Or think hey, that's pretty great. Over. That's what I do all day, every day at Evermore is nothing but just make it up. So, awesome. I mean, it was good stuff.
All right, Knights, if you haven't noticed, we have a special guest with us who is not only an actor, but works at a theme park where me and Jay are going to visit a lot now that it's back to open. Kay, can you introduce ourselves to our loyal Knights?
Yes. I'm Kate Pierce. I'm an actor. I've done a couple of different projects, but yeah, most recently I've been working at Evermore Park in Pleasant Grove. I've been there for 2 years since the day we opened. So I've seen a lot of iterations, a lot of changes, a lot of actors get cranked through that place. I've done a ton for Evermore, whether it's writing, world building, game design, and acting, so I've had my hands right in the meat of it all for 2 years.
Have you done any voice work for them? I know they have some, like, pre-recorded stuff.
Yeah, I actually have not. We're just now kind of getting started on, like, recap videos and making sure that our online presence is more prevalent. It's no secret that our online presence has not been as satisfactory as we would like it to be. So we are starting to do a lot more in that medium, and I do hope to do some voice work. I love voice work. At Evermore, I have played 11 different characters. Each one a different voice, accent, characterization. So I do love voice work. So I hope so. I hope so, but not quite yet.
Can you just give us, like, one or two of your actor or characters that you've done?
Oh, geez. Yeah, sure. So one of the characters that I've played, my favorite character personally, was actually an arc villain. He was one of our story arcs. He was the villain. He was an actor. Believe it or not, so I was an actor playing an actor.
So meta.
Yeah, very meta. And he'd travel around and everything, and he was a serial killer. Really intense. And he was just British RP, so he spoke just classic British. What I always said is that his mother wasn't taught the proper way of speaking, right? Didn't go to school, didn't learn proper elocution and things like that, and his father did. So the accent is very, very mixed here and there. It's not quite proper British RP, but it has many of the same characterizations. So
that's pretty posh to me.
Ah, yes, yeah. He was very posh and proper. A charming young man that ended up, being a serial killer. I've done a few. There was one. I played a Viking, and what's super interesting, I guess, a Wolf of Winter is what we called them because Evermore, we don't have Vikings necessarily. from a portal, he's from a different world, and we don't know what Vikings sounded like, right? Like, the world, we don't know. So even the show Vikings, they have their own dialect. There's a show called Norsemen on Netflix. It's great. Mm-hmm. And they
that's super hard to follow.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, they just use the, you know, their Norway, mm-hmm. Norwegian accent and everything. So I kind of married the two together to make an accent, which I'm gonna have to see if I can remember it. But his name was Kuresh. He would say, "Hello there, my name is Kuresh. I'm a Wolf of Winter. I am the war speaker for the Wolves of Winter. Anything you need, I can help you out with." Yeah. So it was a very sort of strange marrying of these accents to make it sound Viking-esque. But yeah, I've done a lot of voices.
That's awesome. It's really hard to like switch from one accent to the other, I feel like, because really you've got to mentally get into gear for it.
Yeah, yeah, it really can be. You've got to have those triggers in your head. I don't know. Accents is something I've always really enjoyed doing. Being a DM for 5 years, as I've been 5 years straight without stopping. I do the voices and everything, so yeah, it's something you definitely get used to. The only thing close to voice work I've ever done is we had this massive puppet, I guess you could call it, where you'd actually sit in the chest of it. It was a hollow chest, and you had a microphone with a voice modulator on it, and you could like move its head and everything. It was this huge bad villain known as the Fae King, and I had to sit back there and, "Yes, come, my subjects," you know, mm-hmm. the classic deepening of my voice, so people aren't like, "I know who that is," you know, things like that. So that's fun. But yeah, it can be kind of a trip to have to switch between all these accents.
Right.
So what got you into acting?
What got a girl.
Nice. Always a good start.
Yeah, always a good start. It's a crazy story. So it was my sophomore year of high school. And my mother has always told me, like, "You're so like just out there. Like you're just..."
So you're a character.
Exactly. She's like, "You're such a ham, you know, you ham everything up. So you should get into acting." And I was like, "No way, mom." And then this pretty girl comes by and is like, "You should get into acting." I'm like, "Yeah, totally." So, I've been thinking about it, you know. So we were kind of dating at the time, and I auditioned for musical theater at my high school. And I made it. I got in. It was awesome. So the next year, I auditioned for, you know, my junior year of high school. That's when I showed up. And I was looking around. Her name was Aubrey. I was like, "Dude, Obs, where are you at, girl?" She was like, "I don't go to that school anymore." I'm like, what? How did I not know this? How did I not know you weren't going to this school? So I almost dropped it. But my mom was like, "You know what? Audition for the first show. Like, just audition for the first show," which was Shrek the Musical. Huh? It was awesome. So I was like, "Okay, sure, whatever." I auditioned for Farquaad. I was like, "That sounds like a lot of fun." So I do the audition, I get some callbacks, and they end up casting me as Donkey in that show. So I was like, "Oh shoot, no way." I've always been a singer. I've always played the guitar. So, you know, musical theater was definitely, I was like, "Yeah, like I sing, I could pull that off maybe." And that first show, man, I loved it. I fell in love with it. It was so fun. It was something that I definitely had been like looking for a long time. It was so yeah, I kind of just got in with that first musical, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's sweet. So I know you're married. Does your wife act?
Actually, that's how we met. Yeah. Yeah. So I was in the BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts program at Utah State in 2015. And we were in a couple of shows together. She was a senior and I was a freshman.
So oh, man. Parents.
Nice. we got into this show, Twelfth Night. It's a Shakespeare play. And our characters, we spent a lot of time on stage together. So we just kind of got to know each other that way. We had a mutual friend in the show that I had made through the program. He introduced us. The first time we hung out, we went to Taco Bell, and that's when I knew it was history.
You're like, "I'm going to marry this girl."
But yeah, this is it. This is it, dude. So yeah, we were in a couple more shows. She graduated. I had still, you know, 3 more years, and I knew I was going to marry her. So I transferred out. I actually started studying computer science for a couple of years and went,
"Lame.
Nope, not for me." So I switched back to acting.
Does that ever, you know, like, is that ever a problem in your relationship? Like if you're in a bad mood, do you just put on, you know, maybe I shouldn't ask this question, but do you ever just put on, you know, one of your characters and pretend like everything's okay? Or do you guys ever do that with each other? Or not really?
I mean, not really. Not okay. Really. What's so interesting about acting is being so like in touch with emotions and, you know, like the human condition.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. The communication between the two of us is so, it's easy, you know? It just is, it's easy because we, I don't know. There are times where it's like, I'm upset, but I'm not going to make it seem that way. So I'm going to do everything I can. But there, I don't know, there's a difference between, you know, your actual emotions and the emotions that you have to dredge up for a character and everything. So it's different than you'd imagine. It's different than you'd imagine. But I guess we both just know how important it is to not like stifle those things. So far so good. Good. It's been a good 3 years. So
yeah. But you never, you know, yell at her in a Viking voice or, you know.
No, I've never done that. I've never switched to like full Irish and been accosting her or anything. So
gotcha, good. That's more so, what Cade, I was trying what have to you... ask.
What have you done career-wise? Have you had any big roles, any commercials, what's the local theater? You got anything there?
Local theater, I mean, it's Utah, you know, so it's kind of rough. You've got about two options, and that's Hale Center Theater and Tuacon. Mm-hmm. People don't even call Tuacon local because it's, you know, 4 hours away, but I've just done a lot with like my schooling. I graduated school and did a couple of community theater plays. I was in the West Coast premiere of Alexander and the Terrible, Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, the musical. It's a children's book if you're not familiar, but I played out for them again, and I played Peter Pan in Peter Pan, which was a lot of fun. In college, I played some awesome roles. I loved them. A dream role I had was in that 12th Night show. There's a character called Sir Andrew. He's this drunkard, just wealthy, just belligerent fool. He's just an idiot, you know? And it was such a fun role. It was one that I had always wanted to play, and I got lucky enough to do that. That same year, the show, the play that I had before that, it's called Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I played just this little kid, this little twin, and my twin had went to go get his haircut because it was, I think it's set in like the 20s. I could totally be wrong. I went to go get his haircut for the right style and cut it wrong. So the director made him buzz his head. So being his twin, I had to buzz my head. So I buzzed my head.
Way to commit.
I know, right? And then I grew my hair back out to pretty much what it is right now to show you this whole.
Oh, nice. That's how I do it, dude. That's my hair. You got it. Yeah. Viral, exactly. Too. Get a little back longer on the side for the non for our listeners.
Yeah, he looks like one of the nice three for our listeners.
Yeah, the Euro cut, short on the sides, long on the top. Mm-hmm. And then I played a Marine in that final show that year and had to buzz my head again. But that one's fun. That's a musical. It was called Dogfight. You should look it up. It's beautiful and amazing. But yeah, those were some three great roles. Other than that, you know, like I spent so much time with computer science that Evermore is actually one of the first real recurring professional gigs that I've done. I was just an extra in a Hallmark movie, so pretty much look out.
Oh, nice. No, that's a good. I had a friend that tipping his toe with that, and it's a good start. I mean, Hallmark will hire you.
They will. And it's good to get part of the union if you need to be, you know, eligible for SAG and things like that. You can
get an IMBD going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you get a bigger role than just, you know, shopper. But for sure, Hallmark, they shoot in Payson and all over Utah all the time. So yeah, it was good. I did it with a couple of my Evermore friends actually, and we had a good time on set. But yeah, I've been trying to get into some voice acting here and there, just doing a little bit of this and that, because again, I do love voices and such.
No, I want to play D&D with you right now. You have no idea.
Yeah, man, dude, I'm wearing a Dungeons & Dragons shirt, bro.
Ah, that's sweet. I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just Evermore has been my first recurring like professional gig that I've done, and like I said, I've played 11 characters. Just I get a ton of experience there, and it's awesome.
Do you plan on staying in Utah then, or do you think you'll eventually move out to like LA, Hollywood?
Yeah, actually, my wife and I have plans to move around February to either LA or Atlanta. We're trying to decide. Atlanta's crazy. Most people don't know this, but like
it's huge. A lot
of things are being shot in Atlanta right now.
A ton.
So we're considering going out there. The competition is not as stiff. The land is a lot cheaper, so we can get, you know, a super, super cheap but nice apartment out there. So that's kind of what we're leaning towards, is maybe trying our hand in Atlanta. So all the way across the nation out there. But
That's glad you didn't say Vancouver. So you're staying local-ish.
Yeah, stay local. We've definitely thought about Canada, you know, with the state of the nation presently. not quite yet. We decided to pull the cord and just go for that one.
Toronto, yeah. Two of the people we've interviewed have either been actors, Veronica Slokowska. Holy cow. She has a Polish last name and I always screw it up. And I
feel bad. That's fair, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I know how to spell it, but I think it's Slokowska. But she's from Toronto. She was on What We Do in the Shadows. And then another one is a filmmaker out there in Toronto. So I was wondering if Canada was on your radar at all or not.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think we wanted to stay in the nation for now, but so much is getting filmed out in Canada these days. It's nuts. You know, just how much it's actually getting filmed out there.
All of like the CW shows, Hallmark, that's all Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's there's a lot. You can tell at the end of the credits, there's usually like a place like you or like you see it.
Thanks, Quebec. Thanks, Quebec.
Yeah, thanks, Quebec. Exactly. You see the Georgia Peach a lot.
Georgia Peach, yeah.
The Marvel movies, a lot of them are filmed out in Georgia and things like that. So it's a good spot too. It's a hop, skip, and a jump away from New York. You know, it's a, you know, not as hard to get to New York from Georgia. It's, you know, still
that's true, because you have a good theater bone in you, so it's not out of the realm to be like, I'll try New York for a minute.
Theater is just, it's all I've done is live theater. I was in that Hallmark movie as an extra. I just walked around, you know, just 3 hours. So that's really the most film I've done. I've started doing some short films with my good friend of mine at Evermore. And we're trying to get some sketch comedy stuff going and things like that. But it's really, I'm kind of just trying to break into film right now. It's a new medium for me.
Dude, it's hard. Breaking in, we've talked to some people about that. You know, my uncle's a filmmaker. We've chatted with him, and breaking in is so hard sometimes, just because it's, James Gunn put it really well. He said there's a ton of competition and not that much like supply almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Not enough work for the amount of people that wanna go out and try to do this stuff.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Which is why Atlanta is so much more appealing to me, is it's definitely going to be, there's going to be a lot of people there. It's not a secret anymore that Atlanta is a great place to be. So you'll definitely see a lot of competition, but it's not LA, you know, and it's not as expensive as LA. So it feels a little bit more comfortable for us to head out that direction.
It's cool. You're going all in too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just got to give it a try. You know, I spent 4.5 years in school. Like, two of them were computer science, but 4.5 years in school. My wife spent 4 years in school to chase this dream, and it's nuts and it's crazy, but luckily I did take 2 years of computer science. So I do have that background.
Yeah. So, but with all things, man, you gotta throw yourself into it. That's the only way you're going to succeed.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're confident, man. We're, you know, do we think that, you know, we're going to be these massive celebrities? No, it's like, that's so uncommon, but I think that we can definitely have an awesome and fulfilling career with what we want to do. I think that we both have the know-how for it.
Do you have like some favorite actors or favorite movies that, you know, you have kind of propelled you towards why you want to do this?
Totally. So comedy really actually is what kind of got me started on it all. I love comedic actors that do comedy well, because comedy is so much harder than drama is. But
that's true. It's hard to be funny. Everyone can be sad.
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite actors that really was like, you know what, like, I love him, is Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey. He's so awesome. And he's one of those guys that does both of them well, just drama and comedy. I'm just incredibly well. I grew up, you know, watching some of his movies, and I love him. I love him. So he was a big one. Andy Samberg, actually. I love Andy Samberg. Uh-huh. And watching him, I love his energy. I love his vibe. And I try to kind of, I don't know, some of what I do, I feel, some of what he does, I kind of feel it fits my wheelhouse very well.
Yeah. They do a lot of facial expressions, and just, you know, we're lucky we get to see you in video, and you have a lot of facial expressions. So that helps a lot.
Right.
Like half of the movement and acting is all facial.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So you're doing that. Great.
When it comes to film, man, I mean, you can pick up on anything, anything in film. And having a theater background where you can't quite pick up on everything, so you do have to be huge and animated. You know, I have less subtlety definitely in that area. Some favorite movies. I love Hot Rod, speaking of Andy Samberg. It's just a classic to me, bro. Like, it's got some just dumb humor that just I love it so much. Man, what else? Lord of the Rings, of course. I love Lord of the Rings. Oh my gosh. My wife and I, we do a marathon of it every single year. So we do the extended editions and do a day, you know, where we just watch them all the way through. It's, yeah, we love that. I love fantasy. Fantasy is definitely my favorite genre. So
cool. I guess it goes to what we wanted to talk about next is what got you into Evermore, the fantasy of Evermore.
Yeah, yeah. So I had no idea about it at all. I lived 2 minutes away from it, but I never drove the direction that it was. So I never saw it getting built. And my mom one day was like, dude, you should audition for this place. And I went, no, there's no way that they haven't done auditions yet, right? So I just kept an eye on it and kept checking and kept checking. One day auditions came up. So I just went, cool. Let's give it a shot. You know, I had been out of theater for a while. I was actually, at that point, I was in Peter Pan, which was my first play I'd done in like a year, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was out of it. I was just kind of doing my day job. And I auditioned while I was in Peter Pan. And, you know, they were like, we like the cut of your jib, kid. And they cast me. So I was originally cast as a jump scare. And that was disappointing, to say the least. But about halfway through the rehearsal process, they pulled me aside and said, nah, like, I don't know that we want to go that direction, you know, so you're going to play a Don Quixote-esque knight. So I play this knight named Duffy Doyle, who wore a tea kettle on his head and had an umbrella for his sword. And yeah, that's where it all began. You know, it's where it all started was there. Just rehearsing and the rehearsal process, dude. It's so funny. It's an inside joke at Evermore about the rehearsal process. For those of us that have been there since the beginning, there's only about 7 or 8 of us left from the beginning. It is nothing like what it has turned out to be. It was going to be a linear walkthrough, almost like a haunt kind of idea, where you'd get all the story and you'd meet these characters as you walk to the exterior of the park, which if you go there, you actually see that it is set up for that. We run something back there now that I can get into later. But you got the exterior of the park and you have this story kind of as you walk through. And then we opened for FanX. In 2018, September 20th of 2018, we opened for FanX and we were all like, well, that's not working at all. It's not working. So they were like, just go interact. Just be your character, answer questions. We came up with a guild system. So like I was a knight, so you could join the knights and become a knight with us and everything. And we just kind of on the fly were like, prove that you are brave and go through the catacombs, which we had some things in the catacombs. Prove that you are witty and make somebody laugh, tell a joke and make them laugh. And I honestly don't remember the last one. Prove that you're chivalrous. I seriously don't remember, but we just made it up, you know, me and this other actor that doesn't work for Evermore anymore. But it was crazy. So that immediately flipped everything on its head and we had to figure out a new formula. And we really leaned into that like you're the world walker, which is what we call our patrons, because you walk through this portal between worlds, a world walker, it makes sense. But the world walker is the hero. You know, you are here and like Evermore needs help. We need your help. Is the idea behind it now.
So I was just gonna say, can you explain Evermore to us? You know, in terms of Michael Scott, point. Like explain it to me like I'm a
5-year-old.
Yeah, like I'm five. Your mommy and daddy buy you a lemonade stand? Explain it to us like we're five.
Yeah, we should have opened with this. Please explain Evermore to our fans and to me and Jay.
Totally. So Evermore is like nothing that has ever been done before. It is a brand new medium of entertainment. So explaining it is not exactly like, oh, think X cross with Y, you know? It's a whole new thing. So you enter Evermore as a world walker, like I explained before. This person who walks between portals, and the way you got there is through a portal. You know, you think you walked through a gate, but when you talk to the patron, to the citizens of the town, they're gonna say, "Oh, hello, how was the trip through the portal?" Things like that, right? So immediately, the second you walk into Evermore, you're gonna see a member of each of the 6 guilds there. There's the bards, the performers, the singers, the dancers, right? There's the pirates, which I am currently playing. There are the knights, easily explained. The Elven Rangers, so it is a group of elves that have come from the world of Mythos, which is kind of like our fantasy Tolkien-esque world, right? These elves that come from the world of Mythos that are you know, rangers, they use bow and arrows and they track their prey and they hunt and they use daggers and they're really good at gathering intel and they're quiet, you know, they're awesome. I love the Elven Rangers. The Blackheart Hunters, which are just so cool. They wear these, you know, leather vests. They have these pistols and these axes. They are monster hunters. They're our, you know, Van Helsing-esque characters. They are just these just super cool. They kill vampires and undead and fae, you know, all sorts of things. They're really awesome. Let's see, who have I gone through? That's four. The Coven, the Witch's Coven. So you can, you know, be a magical sorcerer there, mystical, magical. Am I missing one? Did I say them all? The Bards, the Pirates, the Rangers, the Blackhearts, the Covens, the Knights. Yes, that's all six.
Just be careful with witches. Everything that happens bad in our podcast, Jay blames on witches.
That's witches. Everything bad that happens in Evermore, I blame on witches as well. So.
It's those witches.
Witches, every time.
For any Evermore Coven members that may stumble upon this podcast, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry.
Coven is trouble.
this is gonna go on blast. Everyone's gonna hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell people to listen to it, man. I'll make sure we get a good listening to this episode. So yeah, you can join those guilds, and that's just one aspect, right? They'll give you quests. Like I said, there are three tenets to each guild. The Pirates is luck, guts, and freedom, right? And I won't go too much further. I'll let you go to Evermore and explore what that means. Mm-hmm. You have to do a task with all three of those and you join the Pirates Guild. But what's the next step, right? What do you do from there? You can rank up in these guilds and earn different titles and earn different, you know, permissions, if you will, and different access to different quests and stuff if you level up. One thing that we're running right now, which is another feature of Evermore that I'm gonna launch into, is called our Epics, Evermore Epics. So you pay $15 at the gate to get into Evermore, and then we kind of do a build your own experience kind of vibe. Before, it was just $35, welcome to Evermore, and it's just too much money. Not everybody is interested in everything we have to offer. I mean, just like Disneyland, right? Not everybody is interested in everything they have to offer. So we allow you to kind of pick and choose your experience, you know? So these epics are $10 to run. And they help sculpt the story of Evermore. One that has just happened, and you can find a recap for this online, is two pirate crews have arrived in town, the crew of the Last Shackle and the crew of the Broken Vow. And they're in a bit of a conflict about, you know, what to do regarding a threat that is threatening Evermore presently. And this epic, these world walkers, as you come and walk through, can assist these pirate crews. You can choose which one you want to join, which one you want to assist. And then there was a bit of a scavenger hunt to find some objects, return them to the crew of your choice, and then ensure that that crew escaped that object, right? So with this, every time that it's run, because it's just run on repeat throughout the night, each time it's run, we tally what the outcome was. At the end of a 2-week run, we say, all right, this was the most selected outcome. This outcome happened the most often. It is now canon. It is what happened. Right.
Get out. That's sweet. I love it.
Yeah, it's I love it. It
is
so
cool.
Yeah. So you, the World Walkers, have a real impact on the story. There is no writer's room sitting down going, this is what's gonna happen, this is when it's gonna happen. It's really like, well, we'll see what the World Walkers choose, you know? And we have it all written for the different outcomes and everything, but it's your choice. And then finally, or not finally, next we have just quests, right? Like any RPG, you can go into what we call the midfield. That's like the in-house term for it. The midfield, which is just the center of town, and talk to these characters, get to know these characters and do personal quests for them. Like, oh, I'm in love with the new bard in town. Go deliver this note for me, right? Due to COVID, we actually can't, you know, pass notes like that. But it is something that we've done. We also have a currency in park. We use little just nuggets of gold, just cute little nuggets, you know, and you can trade that for things. I'm a sleight of hand artist, so I do things, you know, like here's this ring, right? Whoa, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. You know, just like pay me a gold and I'll do you a card trick, you know, things like that. So we have fun, you know, trading aspects like that for the kids. And I mean, there's some our awesome repeat world walkers have amassed a serious wealth, and they've used it to, you know, purchase buildings for characters there was a moment where a new baker in town needed to they wanted to buy a bakery, but they couldn't afford it. And the World Walkers came together and donated over 1,000 gold. You know, it was just nuts. So, yeah, gold, personal quests, story quests. And then finally, and something that is so awesome, we've introduced our battle arena. So you can purchase, we have a vendor there now who sells what are called buffer swords. They're just like big foam swords. Or you can rent them from us for, you know, one-time use. But you can get a shield and a short sword, a long sword, a mace, a lance, you know, all sorts of things. And go into this battle arena and battle your friends. Or on Friday, I got challenged. Someone said, I want to fight you. And I went, all right, bring it on, bro. So I went in there and we fought to the death, you know, best of three. So it's really, really awesome. It is so fun to be able to battle like that. It's a really cool time. So that's another awesome aspect of it. The food is nuts. It's nuts. Our head chef is the same guy that does the Strap Tank breweries around here.
Oh, okay.
If you see those Strap Tank breweries. Yeah, he just got brought on and he's an artist. He's an artist. Our beignets, better than Disneyland. I'm just saying, dude. Our beignets are fire. They're so good. So if for anything else, come for the food. You know?
The food alone is worth the trip.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I tease all the time. You come into the tavern and I'm like, let us sing some Ashantis, yeah? Right? I'm Italian right now. So. but yeah, we you know, sing these awesome shanties at the end of the night when we're closing. We sing shanties to end the night and everything. And it's a fun, lively experience. Great for the family. Much more accessible now, I will say. You know, we've kind of changed our formula. And before it was, you know, it was a lot of like, yeah, get involved, get deep into the story and everything. There's a lot for you to discover. But recently we've kept that integrity and added just so much for anybody, right? For just your general family coming through the gate. So you can really pick and choose your experience and find what you like about it and really get into it. There's a whole history. Like I said, I played a necromancer serial killer guy who now has affected Evermore in ways that can't be undone. And these characters have felt the scars of that individual. And it's just an awesome place to be. So there's a lot to do. It is what we're calling an immersion park or an experience park. You come in. I love to see people in costumes when they come in costume. I'm like, yes, you're here to play. You're here to hang out with me, you know? So
I feel like you guys should be like, do you even LARP, bro? When you see somebody.
Yeah. A t-shirt, Evermore. Do you even LARP, bro?
LARP, bro? Yeah.
Question about that. What's a good way for some, well, I guess two questions, but one is, what is a good way for someone to kind of like, because it's hard. I noticed it with D&D, like if you can kind of let down like your guard almost, and if you can get into your like a role or get into it mentally, what's a good way for someone to kind of do that? Because it's a lot more fun. Whereas if you're too cool, you know, if you're not willing to kind of be a little bit goofy and kind of imagine, use your imagination, what's your kind of tip towards doing that?
Yeah, this is a perfect question because I see it on a daily basis. People who come to Evermore and they go, yeah, I just don't know if this is my thing. And I'm like, dude, you could have so much fun if you just let your guard down. The first thing is, I mean, the people you come with is major, right? If you have your D&D group, come with them, right? I see that all the time. People dress up as their D&D characters and they come and there's always one person that is just has a cloak on and then has like a necklace of just dice. So I'm like, that's the Dungeon Master. You know? but coming with your D&D group, that is phenomenal. If your family is coming and they just want to be themselves, they just want to like, no, I'm Cade Pierce. I'm not Ultheria Stormcloak, you know, I'm not this character. I'm just me. It works. It does work. But I will say there's a lot of fun to be had with creating this character. And I would say just come with that in mind. Come with the idea that, like, you know, bring, just wear a cloak. I see people, you know, they come in jeans and a t-shirt, but they say, yes, I am Gregory Wilhelm, and I am a great adventurer from many different realms, you know. And it's like, oh, sweet, so they have jeans where you're from too, you know. And it's just, we accept that reality. So yeah, the first one is, you know, your group. The next bit of advice I think I could give on it is just come prepared with something. Be willing to be like, all right, guys, like, let's get into this. Let's be characters. Let's have these stories, I'm going to be like, I want to be a knight. That's what I'm going into is being a knight, you know, and maybe that's all you know. And throughout the night you discover it. But the big one is that is you just, you have to be willing to let your guard down if you want to get into that. But we offer plenty of stuff for people who, you know, that's not their jam. They don't want to let their guard down, you know, just raw entertainment. But if you can just be like, you know what, let's get immersed. Let's do this. Let's play. There's a lot of fun to be had.
I almost want to play a character where I go in and like, I am who I am, but I've actually like, I pretend I've wandered through a portal and I have no clue where I am now. So like same characteristics. I'm wearing like earth clothes, you know, like whatever, a Mountain Dew shirt or whatever, but I'm like,
it's the kid in King Arthur's palace, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do I do here? Like, you guys got to help me out. I don't know how to get home.
Yeah, that's beautiful, actually. That is awesome. And another great thing is our fan base, our repeat customers are so awesome. They come dressed up. They have characters. I don't even know half of their real names. Like, I just know them by their character names, you know? They're so awesome. They come through and you're going to feel right at home. You're not going to be like, why am I the only one doing this? The people who aren't dressed up, the people who aren't immersed, they're going to be feeling like, why am I the only one not doing this, you know? But that's a perfect way to do it. Be like, I don't know where I am. Like, how did I get here? You know, and I as an actor, as a character in the park, would love that kind of interaction, you know? So.
Yeah. Oh, I noticed you have some facial hair. I should have mentioned this at the beginning. Is that part of your character currently?
It is. Yep. Yep. So the ever so fun, I am contracted to look this way. If ever I accidentally, you know, shave too close to the face and have to shave my beard, you know, I can get in a lot of trouble. So, yes, this is my current look. Before this, I had a super curled mustache. Super
I saw that. I may or may not have Instagram stalked Kate and saw the mustache.
Yeah, it was gnarly, dude. It was awesome. I love it, actually. But that was also my villain character. So they were like, well, cut those off immediately. Make sure you look different than that character a little bit. So yeah, I just have kind of this just little sort of, you know, baby beard, baby mustache going on at the moment. But yeah, they control my look 100%. 100%. Shout out to our makeup artist. She loves making me do fun stuff.
Is it okay if we record the next little bit? I kind of want to record some of the funny stories you've had in Evermore.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go ahead and request permission. Mm-hmm. Is that cool, Johnny? Are you okay if we start getting into some of
that? Yeah, you're good.
Okay, cool. You're giving me the Forrest Whitaker eyes.
No, it's with my eyes.
Have you ever watched Community?
I love Community. Love Community. One of my favorite shows. Let's see. Are you requesting access right now? Am I supposed to be seeing that?
I think so. Please request recording permission from the meeting host. How the heck do I do that?
It's Jay Mortimer. Let's just do this. Allow record. There we go.
Okay.
There you go. Johnny, I'll give you the same thing. Just, you know.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's starting to record now. We're good. Yeah, I'm glad you like Community. Johnny always asks that question because he's like, he's been a Community fan for, well,
since it began.
Yeah, I was going to say since he was 18, before DVR 20 was years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I ran into it when it hit Hulu finally. And started watching it, but I've been through, I think, three times now. Yeah,
that's what I do.
You're probably like, oh, that's cute. yeah, I love it.
So what was the best interaction you've had at the park? Like, what was one that you've had one and be like, you know what? I'm glad I signed up for this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just not so cheesy. I get that every day. I mean, I've been here for 2 years and I'm in character for 17 hours a week. It's nuts. Like, you're in character for a long time, you know? It can really drain you. But every single day, I find that there's another interaction that I truly treasure. But one in particular that I love is there is a hardcore world walker that she is incredible. And as my serial killer character, his name was Maxwell Morgan. He was getting arrested and he knew it. He was like, they have found me out. They know it's me. I'm getting arrested. So he went up to this world walker and said, listen, I need you to get a lockpick. Just have it ready and bring it to me. And she was like, what? Why? And I went, you'll know why.
Because you're chaotic evil.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time, she was really leaning into the fact that she was this, you know, this dark entity. She was this evil world walker. which is a dangerous game to play, I will say. Because you, if you're a world walker and you're like, I want to be bad, you have to accept the fact that you are going to lose. Yeah. And you also, you know, can't be annoying or we'll kick you out. But I guess annoying is probably disruptive is what I should
there
say.
There we go.
You can't be disruptive. Being annoying as you want. But I went up to him, like, get me a lockpick. I need a lockpick. And then about 2 minutes later, I turned around with the constable walking down the road. I'm like, all right, this is it. This is it. I got arrested. And then later that night, I was in shackles. I had the shackles behind my back. I was in this cage, this carped cage that we have. And I was just sitting there, had my hands behind my back. I was getting interviewed by a couple of world walkers asking, like, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? What are your motives? You know, and I'm just playing crazy. I'm like, I don't know. They're just balance, I suppose. It was all about balance in the end, you know, things like that. And she just casually, I felt the cold lockpick against my fingers. I opened my hand, slipped it into my sleeve, and then just kind of like sat up. And they were real, like, manacles, real old-time manacles that we were using. So without that lockpick, I wouldn't have been able to get out. We had keys and such. I even had a key on me just in case. But I mean, that's the actor had a key on him. Maxwell as a character, he didn't have a key, man. I mean, this is the only way he was getting out. So later in the night, I actually did use that same lockpick to pick the lock on the handcuffs and shoot some. Again, I'm a sleight of hand artist. So I shot some fire out of my hand and everything, and he ended up dying that night. But I loved it. I loved it. He just fed into this whole, bye Johnny, fed into this whole world of, you know, what was happening. And she helped me break out. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And she followed through. But I have a million stories like that. You know, I have a million times that I've been like, hey, go do this for me. And let's see what we can pull off and things. And they do it, you know, they follow through. They're awesome. And they're so fun to play with. Other times you tell them and they don't agree with you. So they foil you, you know, they put a tripping block in front of you and it's like, oh no, now I got to adjust. And it's fun to create those relationships. And that's a big thing is like my character has relationships, these people in park has these friendships with these people that he's built or not friendships, you know, or these
backstabberies.
Yeah. Backstabberies. So
I love it.
Yeah. It's really awesome. And that's gotta be one of my favorite times was just going up to her and being like, look, dude, I'm done. It's over for me. Like, do what you can to help me, please. And she followed through. So it was awesome.
That's so cool. I was never expecting this because, you know, we just see Evermore and we don't know anything. So like this, just that alone was like, got me every feel you could have for fantasy, D&D, yeah. Skyrim, everything just happened. And like all my emotions just flooded just hearing that story. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's awesome. And you can get really, really involved. You specifically can have an effect on what happens, you know, getting involved in, you know, a romance. And if you're the one that's like, listen, bro, like I'll deliver the note. I had my last character I played, that Viking character. These world walkers were really pushing like, hey, I think you should get with Anastasia. Dude. Like, I really think like you should hook up with Anastasia. She's super cute. Like she's into you. You should write a note. And he was the war speaker. He's the, you know, very eloquent little wolf. So he writes this letter, has it delivered. And by the end of the night, it's like, all right, it's official. We're courting, baby. Like it's happening. So, you know, this whole relationship was built around these world walkers that were just like, let's like do it. And then they convinced me. And I, of course, was like, yeah, hello, story team. Is this cool? Is this chill? Like, yeah, go for it, bro. I was like, okay, sweet. Let's do it.
Here's your necklace of Mara. Go for it, man.
Yeah, necklace of Mara, exactly. Solid reference. Yeah, so there definitely is, you know, there are limits. Things have to get approved. And there are times that the characters will be like, no, bro, like, not in
follow the story. This is not follow the story.
Yeah, it's like, that's not in my wheelhouse. Like, it's not what I do, you know? So it's very RPG that way. You know, these characters are real and they have real emotions and they'll be like, you're a psychopath. Or they'll be like, absolutely. Let's go steal a cannon. That's what I did on Fridays. I straight up stole a cannon with some world walkers. It was awesome. So
this sounds like a bunch of shenanigans, man. You're really making me want to go.
It is. I mean, it's we have a lot of shenanigans so that if you miss one, you can get involved in another, you know, because that's super fun. And with pirates, we're really right now, the season is called Pyra. I don't know why we chose that name, but there are a lot of pirates around. So maybe that's why. or maybe pyro like fire because it's hot and it's the summer. I have no idea.
It works so many levels.
Yeah, so many levels, right? That somebody knows what they're doing. But especially with pirates around right now, there is so much hijinks that we're getting into and all that stuff. And it all feeds a greater story. You know, we stole this cannon because we're trying to defend from this threat that is coming to face Evermore. You know, we're nervous. We need as many weapons as possible. But in the meantime, like, I'm walking around like, let's steal it as a cabin, all right? Like, all this stuff. So, yeah, it's a really good time. I really, really enjoy it. And again, I've done anything from writing to world building to game development to now acting, of course, as well with them, and mostly acting. But just the whole thing, it has a lot of brilliant minds behind it and a lot of just really passionate artists that have created such an incredible experience that has come a long way from that first, those rehearsals I was talking about. Like, yeah, it's really come a long way. And I think right now we're especially in an awesome spot with these new epics and the battle arena. Just, oh man, I'm all for it right now. I'm really, really loving it.
What other worlds would you say are kind of similar? Like, if we're just trying to visualize it before we go, like, would you say it's a lot like the Witcher universe? Would you say it's a lot like Lord of the Rings? Would you say it's a lot like Skyrim? Like, or a combination of all of it? Like, what are some ways you'd help people visually?
Yeah, it's tough, actually. It is sort of a unique feeling, because the way Evermore works is all these portals open to different worlds, to the world of Mythos, which again was like our Tolkien-esque world, the world of Aurora, which is this frigid wasteland with these great climbing palaces every now and then, right? To the world of Lore, which has this darkness, this plague that can topical that can, you know, crawl through and infect people and create zombie-like monsters. We have all these different inspirations. I'm this new character is from a portal we've never been to before. So all these different inspirations, where I have kind of a sort of steampunk feel, where somebody else is, you know, this huge knight in this clad armor, where the Blackhearts are wearing their leather cloaks. They have their, you know, 1880s era rifles, you know, their revolvers and their rifles. It's kind of a mixture, and whatever you're looking for, you can find it, you know. Because of this, you know, very unique colliding of worlds, there's a lot of a feel. If you want more of a Witcher feel, probably go to the Blackhearts. Probably go talk to them. Again, they're more Van Helsing because they use the, you know, their guns and their axes less than like silver swords. But you can specialize, and they can teach you, like, well, this is how you kill undead. This is how you kill Fae. Like, this is how you track these individuals. You know, they're, and each of the characters are specialists. Lazar, oh man, he's a brand new, he's a character name is Lazar. He's a brand new Blackheart hunter, and he's an undead specialist with this awesome rapier, this great look about him. You can talk to him about killing undead. You can talk to Kine. They're this awesome, just little scrappy fighter with just this nut strength that is, you know, is a specialist in Fae. There are more, the knights, so cool. One of them is the commander of the knights. He's this massive, just intimidating presence. So you can find it everywhere. I ramble, I go on, but you know, you can find it almost anywhere. You want to be the bard from The Witcher? You want to be the guy?
Toss your coin to The Witcher?
Toss the coin, yeah, go join the bards. There you have it, right? So you have infinite choices of what you can be.
That's cool. That's way cool.
Yeah.
So since the world is what it is, and the real world, is there any like COVID-19 tips that you can give our listeners so they know ahead of the park? Like, speaking, what do you guys recommend? Just so it's easier for them.
So this first thing is entirely me personally. Wear a mask. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it does not require you to wear a mask to gain entry. The actors are not required to wear masks. A lot of us don't, because you need to be able to hear and understand us. But if you were to wear a mask, that's important. What the park, of course, officially their stance, masks are great. They allow masks. I believe they suggest masks. Social distancing is huge. We as actors are very cognizant of the social distancing aspect. And if mistakenly we find ourselves, you know, chatting a bit too close, another one of our actors may be like, hey, like, you know, and everything. Yeah, we're cognizant of social distancing. We ask that you do the same, of course. And then naturally, as it always is, if you are not feeling well, even if you're like, yeah, my nose is stuffy, I think it's allergies, make sure it's allergies before coming to the park. Just be cool, be chill, be excellent to each other.
Be most excellent to each other. Love it.
Exactly. So just be smart is mostly the thing. There are signs all over talking about social distancing. We, of course, in park, it's an immersion park. We do everything we can not to break immersion. We refer to it as cholera. We say it as the plague. So we will often refer to it with my sleight of hand and everything. You know, pick a card, any card. I just say name a card. You know, I've had to adjust and everything. So we are cognizant. We don't do gold trading anymore. So if you bring your gold, I'm so sorry. I can't accept it. We don't do trinket trading. You know, if you people will bring trinkets, like, look at this little charm, it has a fairy on it. Like, sweet, I'll give you 10 gold, or I'll give you, you know, this bauble that I have. You know, we aren't doing that right now. Guild cards, to get like cards to signify your guild, because we want to send you home with something, right?
Yeah.
We aren't doing those for every guild member. You know, occasionally we might take out a card and hand it, like, you can write your name on it and everything, but we're very careful about it. You know, I'll use my coat and reach in and grab it with my coat and hand it, which
of course,
isn't a solution by any means. It's not a solution, but
it's a precaution.
Right. Yeah. It's a precaution. So it's just like, we're doing everything that we can to still create this experience for you, because we are in a special kind of way, and, you know, staying closed is dangerous nowadays. I mean, a lot of businesses are really hurting because of it.
Yeah. So.
And people are, you know,
people need the escapism. So it's beautiful. Yeah,
exactly. And Evermore is such a great place to escape too. I mean, escapism is the name of the game there. We do everything we can. There's a movie, and I'm forgetting the title, and it's a classic, so I feel like an idiot. but this man is sent back in time by mistake. He gets somehow sent back in time to, like, the Victorian era England. Which is the official era for Evermore as well, Victorian England. He gets sent back in time, and he for the first little while, he's really trying to figure out how to get home. But as more time goes, he forgets about his past life. And then as he's walking around fully immersed, he's like, this is who I am now. He sees a penny on the ground, you know, a modern day penny. And he goes, I gotta get home, right? I gotta get home. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. You know, and what we try to do at Evermore is eliminate those pennies, right? We don't want you stumbling upon a penny. We want you to be able to let go, live in this world, and be something, be a hero or a villain, you know, a non-disruptive villain.
Be a fun villain.
A fun villain, exactly. Yeah. Things like that. So yeah, let you be this hero, let you be this fantasy character. And not be stuck, not like what I am, not be a computer programmer, works from home and doesn't leave the house, you know? Like,
why me and Jay podcast? Hey, we don't want a real world. We want podcasting and meet great new people. And like, we knew Cade before he was a big actor. We knew when he was bragging about Evermore.
Yes. Yeah. So it's an absolutely incredible place. It is awesome. The new adjustments we've made to the way it operates, with kind of the pick your own experience sort of thing.
Yeah, that's so cool. That is really so cool. You have no idea. Yeah. Like, I was all about this park just by, like, being like a cool park to hang out in, but I had no idea, like, these levels of where it's at. It just sounds even better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do everything we can to bring the entertainment to you, right? We don't want you to have to put too much in to be entertained, and we have that. But I will say, if you are willing to put a little bit of effort in, if you're willing to play with us, your experience goes so much further, you know? Join the Facebook pages. Our Facebook pages are awesome. Evermore Community page, or Evermore Theories and Spoilers. They're really awesome at separating them. There's Evermore Theories and Spoilers for people who are like, they want to keep up on the story, but maybe they live far away, or, you know, they've seen it all already. So they're like, let's just talk about it and discuss it. Like the epic again, it's run over and over again. So a lot of people are all about, like, let's discuss the epic. How did it go for you? What outcome did you guys get? And you can run those as many times as you like. It is $10 each time, but there's no limit. I mean, feel free to run it at 20 times. If you really want, right now we're doing a mayoral election. If you really want someone to win the election, and you're like, I want them to win, just play it. You play it over and over again, you know? But yeah, if you can put a little bit of effort into it, you can get a lot out of it. It's not required by any means. You can have an awesome family night with your children, you know, wrangling these kids, trying to get them around. You can't put too much effort into it. You're just trying to wrangle your kids. You can have an amazing night with that as well. But for those fantasy nerds and all of us, there's so much to uncover.
That's sweet. Can you show us one more magic trip? I magic trick, although it'll be a trip. I wanted to, I think we're about at the end of our time. But yeah. Since I'm recording, I'd like to show one more real quick.
Right. So I'm a sleight of hand magician, right? So that's kind of big. Oh, get out of you there. You know, that one's great for the kids. I
for the adults.
That was really cool.
Yeah, luckily I come prepared. I didn't think I came prepared, but I did.
Oh, wow.
I have my Evermore bag right next to me, conveniently. That's where I brought my laptop. But yeah, like I said, I'm a sleight of hand.
Golly, dude. I was like, Jay, let's audition for this. No.
No, that's the thing though, is it's, you don't need to be a sleight of hand magician to audition. I am lucky to have that skill, right? So yeah, one fun thing is, you know, we'll name any card. We'll choose this card here, right? And I'm gonna stand up even to kind of show. So we got this two right here. Let me adjust my. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Got this two of what is that? Spades, right? Yeah. Two of spades. Ah, dropping it. I'm an artist, I swear. And what's fun is especially in Evermore, I'm a very lucky magician to be able to be doing magic in Evermore due to the fact that magic, you know, it truly exists there. It's something that we actually talk about existing. So what I'm doing here is I'm showing you, your card is right here, right on top of the deck, right? There's nothing in my hand. I don't have any sleeves, so nothing crazy going on. But what I want to show you is if you place your card just right here and you push it all the way in,
oh, I hate this man.
It vanishes, right?
Dude, get this guy a ticket to Hogwarts, man.
Jeez. Yeah,
you should,
man.
Be careful. You're going to be burned for witchcraft at the stake.
I know, man. First a serial killer, now a witch.
What is going on in Evermore? Well, we're gonna find out, because the Deadlight Nerds are going to go front and center.
Yes. The World Walkers will never trust me again, but it's awesome. I love it. I can't speak enough of its praises. So some of the construction is not entirely finished, mind you, so keep that in mind. But even with that, even with what we have, it is still such a magical place. And I think that's just a testament, these setbacks that we have because of COVID, because of other complications and stuff with that, especially, is a testament to just how incredible this place is.
That's amazing. Well, you got two new friends out of it.
Yeah.
Two new, And how long is the pirate thing going? Do you guys switch it up every quarter, or is it?
So there are four seasons that we do now. Mm-hmm. Lore, Aurora, Pyra, Mythos.
Okay.
And Aurora is our winter Dickensian, right? Aurora, it's in the winter. Lore is our dark Halloween.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love lore. I always look forward to lore. Pyra is summer, Mythos is spring. Okay. So when Pyra ends August. August 29th. Don't quote me on that. Somewhere around the end of August, mid to end of August, when it ends, we may have some downtime where the park is closed while we transition into lore. The last time we transitioned to a new season, we tried to not close the park. We kept it open. And then COVID was like, no, you don't.
How dare you?
Yeah. So
not today, Evermore. Not today.
So we may close, we may not between seasons, but lore will be our next season as Halloween comes around, and boy, I am so excited, guys. Especially lore, you've got to come check it out all seasons. But I mean, if ever there was one that I had to name as my favorite, I'd name lore. It is incredible.
That's sweet.
Awesome.
Cool, Cade. Well, thank you so much for being with us on the cast. You are now in our, you know, podcast lore, as it were.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can't even knight you. You were already a knight, because we like to knight our favorite people.
We like to master them, you know.
And you're already a knight, so you're a double knight. Knight.
Cade wasn't a knight, though.
That's right. Cade, you are now officially a knight.
Yes.
Deadlight Nerds.
Deadlight Nerds. That's what I'm talking about.
And we'll make you a master, too. Master of Evermore. I don't like that. Master of Sleight
of Hand. Master of Sleight of Hand. Trickery. Master of Trickery.
Trickery.
Yeah. Master of Trickery. I love it. That's awesome.
Phenomenal.
Awesome, dude. All right. Thanks, all right, Knights, for listening. And hopefully when you all go to Evermore Park to see Cade as who he is, play with him. That's what we took out of this. He likes when you interact.
Yes. Please. I will interact with you. I'll make it easy, I swear.
Perfect.
All right, Knights. Well, we'll see you on the Flippity Flop.
Flippity Flop.